My First Dungeon presents
Night Hive to Valhalla!
Last we left, you five cats on a mission from death were tracing the path of Skunder's arrow across a slowly darkening sky as you recalled the words death whispered into your ears.
If aim is true, you'll hit the mark. The rings are red. The store is dark.
You guys follow the path of this electric arrow as it soars through the sky, guiding you around the nooks and crannies of Xioping's Maw. And as you find the terminus of this guiding bolt, you see two red rings, one large red ring and then a circular target where this arrow has embedded itself directly in the center. And you see a large building stretched out in front of you. Large building with large double doors that seem to open and close automatically at random intervals. And as the doors close, from a distance, you see an interesting sigil. You see a sigil of a dog chasing and catching its own tail. An Ouroboros of a dog.
An Ouroboros.
An Ouroboros, if you will. And outside, you see a slow but steady patrol of a number of dogs. Before we get started, I want to ask a question of our five cats here, because it's going to be pretty important. How many lives do each of you have left?
Fewer than there are probably dogs.
Hello Kitty, how many lives do you have
left? As long as that math works out, we're okay.
I boast 8 lives.
Skunder, how many lives do you have left?
I have 7 lives.
Bulla, how many lives do you have left?
5.
Mr. Tumbo.
5 times I've died. 5 times I've returned, clawing my way back to the living.
And Inga.
I'm close to my prize. This is my final life.
Oh!
Woo!
Rare.
Protect Inga at all costs.
Abby is scared. Inga is excited.
I kind of hope you die.
Thanks.
You guys all see from a distance this massive former store now seems to be crawling with dogs all over it. As you guys start scouting out this area and seeing what could be around, Skunder, you feel a strange sensation within you.
What?
You feel a like warm bubbling in your stomach, and you feel yourself begin to jitter and shake a little bit as you feel that acrid taste of the bitter beans that you ate at the close of our last episode.
Right.
All of you look at Skunder, and you see Skunder begin to shake and quiver, and then begin to fully vibrate, and then begin to vibrate so quickly that it begins to be difficult to see Skunder. Skunder, mechanically, for your next action, for your next 2 actions, you must use cunning.
Okay.
For your next action, your cunning will be maxed out.
Okay.
Whoa.
For the action following that, you will have a caffeine crash, and it will be a D4. And then after that, you return to normal. But functionally, until you use that first action, you are invisible.
Dope.
Scott, did you guys see? Skunder was right there. Eyes are getting old.
I'm right here. Witch.
What?
I guess this is kind of witchy.
Marco?
The witch is invisible.
Marco?
Polo?
There.
Marco?
Huh?
Polo.
Inga kind of takes a paw and is just like waving it in the air until eventually she just sort of smacks you.
Yes.
Oh, yep. Here I am.
Bella also smacks Skunder.
What'd you say?
I smack you. I smack the shit out of Skunder.
You do the cat thing where it's like they do like rapid paw slaps.
Yeah.
It is, Skunder, if you stay very still for long enough, the best people can get is like a Sasquatch level photo. But any motion past that is like the hummingbirds you had fought before.
I think Skunder is also on a bit of like a, you know, just like energy high from this as well, and is just running around everybody in circles like, all right, what's the plan? What are we doing next? All right, we going in? We going in? Should we go in? Should we fight the dogs?
Mr. Trumbo gets momentarily distracted and just like tries to chase you like and does like the frantic like,
where'd you go? Here I am. I'm right here. I'm over here.
They tumble around a little bit and then just like cats do, walk away from each other. It's just like fast, like play, and then it's over.
You guys see the store out in front of you. There are a number of dogs. It seems like there's a main entrance that you're able to see that seems to be opening and closing at kind of random but regular intervals. Like, there's not things walking in and out of it, but you do see the doors opening and closing as if they are being triggered by something that you can't quite see from this distance. What do you guys want to do?
Are the dogs moving around the entrance?
The dogs are moving around the entrance, but I think you would probably be familiar with this type of entranceway from, like, you've probably encountered it before. There is something kind of mystical about it. The dogs are not close enough to be triggering this entrance to be opening and closing. So something else is triggering that door opening. There are four dogs that are kind of moving around in a very light perimeter.
What kind of dogs?
You see German Shepherds.
Oh, God.
They're biggins.
Fucking cops.
Fucking cops. Well,
do you know these dogs by any chance? Do they look familiar to you?
Or familial?
Me? No. Are they? No, they're not. Well, can I see if I know these dogs?
You don't recognize your sister for sure.
Okay.
But you tell me if you recognize any of them.
Yeah, I recognize one of them.
what's their name?
Scrap.
You see Scrap. Scrap's always got like that constant like long drool. That's not necessarily characteristic of a German Shepherd, but for some reason is always doing. Just a long trail of drool that's kind of connected down from his mouth to his chest. And is walking around with this very kind of like back swaggered butt.
I go, holy shit. That's Scrap.
Oh, Scrap.
Scrap of what?
Mr. Tumbo makes sure everyone's like just puts his paws back.
Hide in the shadow, assess this foul place. A bastion of dogs, and you say you know one of them, youngin? Young warrior?
Yeah, that's Scrap. We grew up in the same little village thing together.
Were you and Scrap friends?
No.
You know, Scrap,
fine.
Scrap was pretty good friends with your sister, though.
Yeah. Mm. A good pal of my sister.
Ah, for better or for worse.
Do you know any of Scrap's weaknesses? Like, say, fatal ones?
That's a good question.
That's a very, yeah, very I do. Good Hello Kitty. I do know his fatal weaknesses.
Good.
And what do
you say them?
Oh, you want me to go do it?
No, say
just
them.
Tell yeah, us. Just say tell them. Us. You could just say them.
I think it wise if we come up with a plan before we jump
in. I have 100 plans. Do you want to hear one of them?
Let's
hear
Bullo's
the weakness.
Let's maybe weakness. Hear the facts.
Scrap is a vampire dog, so he's not really, like, hates garlic, wooden stakes, silver.
I've heard garlic is bad for dogs.
I also hate garlic, so I understand.
I love garlic.
You do notice that Scrap is taking a particular part of the perimeter that is in the shadows of the of the store.
I'd like to sniff on the wind and see if there's any like garlic or onions or anything that we can at least use to like mask our scent, and it'll maybe just keep the dogs away from us.
Is there still an active Auntie Anne's up in this joint?
I was about to say.
Yeah. Can we slather ourselves in garlic butter from
Cinnabon,
a Papa John's
maybe?
Or a pampered chef? Can I roll for a pampered chef?
A combination pampered chef, Papa John's, Auntie Anne's.
Combination pampered chef.
You roll for a pampered chef. If you lose, you die. If you win, it's there. Inga's going to let someone else do this one.
I'd like to kill our scent.
Oh, okay. Now you convinced me.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to say.
Yep, Ryan.
I'm going to say. Okay, so what is yours? I'm going to say your scents are, they're just going to roll 2d4. So you can roll whatever you like. I think it's going to be a pretty easy roll.
To get killed by your scent is also hilarious.
I can roll. I mean, that's a cat like smelling their own ass and being like, ah. Right? What? Sorry, I'm rolling what? I can roll any of my stats.
You can roll any of your stats as long as you can convince me of why they should be rolling them. So probably cunning is one of them.
Okay.
Do you have blessings that can assist?
I have really good brutality, but everything else is a D6. So I'm trying to figure out how to justify using brutality to kill a smell.
Just by sheer obstinance.
By sheer scrubbing or something.
I guess it's also like self-brutal because like I don't want to smell like garlic. That's nasty for me too.
Okay, yeah, you're giving yourself like a very pungent smell, and you've got like almost like a constitution check, like you're trying to force yourself to understand.
You gotta bruise the garlic also.
Yeah, you gotta bruise the garlic. I'm gonna roll cunning and brutality.
I'll tell you what you have to beat. I rolled a 2 and a 3, so you gotta beat a 3.
8. Woo!
Wow!
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Meow. Fuck our scent. We smell delicious. Yeah, I'm going garlic mode.
I'm going garlic.
We're going garlic mode, kiddies.
You guys walk through the main terminal of Shoping's Mall, and you see a number of different former stores within this marketplace. You see sour fruit stretchy pants. You see the secret repository for 2 holy garments. You see Abe's Crumbs and Fetch. And you also see Cinnabon, which is translated into every language. Is universal
language.
Of course. What are you looking for to cover your scent?
I'd like to look for any pungent garlic smells, like garlic powders or oil and powder that we can mix together.
You go into sour fruit stretchy pants. And you actually find it has been overgrown with a Lululemon.
Oh. I was like, what the fuck?
What was the
saying?
Secret repository of 2 garments?
Of 2 holy garments.
Victoria's Secret.
Oh, God. Yes.
That's okay. Only perverts know that.
Yeah. That's me, Michelle, and Abby are perverts.
You go into the sour fruit stretchy pants store, and you actually find it's become overgrown with a number of different like trees and plants, including a number of wild garlics. You grab this garlic, you rub it all over you guys. It's actually a pretty common scent in this area. So not only is it like pungent and masking your cat smell, or rather killing your cat smell, it doesn't seem out of place.
Friggin' brain
blast. Are there like old hoodies in this sour fruit stretchy pants, like black hoodies?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Can we like grab a bunch of like black hoodies and like put them on so we look like a bunch of like cat grim
reapers?
We
should see five cats stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, mega cat. Can we be a transformer cat?
Can we be a transformer cat?
I have a hairless face. I could be.
Can we kill gravity by being a transformer cat?
I think as far as like making yourselves transformer cats, I think you could definitely do that without a roll.
Yeah, we got this.
I like as far as making it happen, you can do it. You guys can be in sync enough to make 2 legs, a body, and Skunder as the face. Mm-hmm. If you want to try to deceive anyone with that, I'll make you go up to the point of no return
all die.
And then roll for it.
Kill curiosity.
call me an old round tabby, but I've just got to ask, why would we do this?
It'd be cool.
Do
you guys want to hear one of my 100 plans?
Yes. Now, yes.
So, what if we kill the entrance to the dark store and try to kill it above the dogs to kill multiple dogs at once?
Oh,
that's a good plan.
You mean to knock down the sign?
Try to lead them out and kill the kill the entrance. You understand.
A clever plan, Invisible Skunder.
Yeah, you're really just hearing Skunder's voice is coming from all around you at various points.
But yeah, I think that's a good idea. We should do that. The witch is right.
Or I say we sneak up under the roof, or our two resident dark magic with the K users zap it.
We only have
sort of eldritch blast or something.
Wait, who's the other dark magic user?
For a mighty formidable warrior, Bola, you sure are thick as a pate sometimes.
Few whiskers shy.
What do you?
Few whiskers shy of a faceful.
Well, I was thinking we could lure them out of the store by. Well, I was going to see if you knew if the vampire dog had any favorite scents.
Oh. Let me go ask. And I run out to go ask.
No.
You guys see Bulla sprint out and run down the long grassy hill into the parking lot of this Target.
I run after him. I laugh so hard and then like, ha ha, fuck the plan.
Skunder is also running extremely fast. It's around each of them in circles as they're moving.
Can I cast a spell on him to stop him from running?
What do you want to do? Are you trying to just like stop in his place?
Yeah.
Yeah, you cast a spell that hits the door in front of him and triggers the automatic motion sensor and closes it. And Bulla, you ram right into the door.
Poor kitty.
Stopped for a moment. Just enough time. So, Hello Kitty, if you want to try to convince Bulla to stay, go for it. Otherwise, Bulla, you can continue running.
If you don't ask him a question, because I think that we should be in costume as the big tall cat first.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
Right. But if you do know off the top of your head, we can use it to lure them out and kill them.
Yes, Bulla, if you use your memory, perhaps we will come up with an answer.
Bulla starts thinking and goes, Oh, yeah, I remember. Scrap likes the smell of raspberries.
I was hoping you were going to say cinnamon.
No.
Oh, you remember the raspberry Cinnabon promotion.
Oh, there's a raspberry perfume in the secret perf palace.
In the secret repository of two holy garments, yes.
Secret perf palace.
That's what I think it says.
Oh, Hello Kitty, you're so wise.
I'll go.
You enter the secret repository of two holy garments and you see a number of garments that have way too many holes in them. Not just because of the passage of time. But you do smell a number of bottles that have been maintained over time. And some of them are like peach scented. Some of them are like lemon scented. And you do find two bottles that are raspberry scented.
Mm. Woohoo! This smells like middle school.
Inga's having a real internal battle right now because while she doesn't want to admit it, she's become... since Hello Kitty taught her how to like make her fur look really lovely, she's become kind of vain. And she doesn't want to rub garlic all over her, but she also knows that this is her last life. And if she is the raspberry trap, it might not go good.
Okay, so I can spray the perv potion outside of Target so that it smells like raspberries. But then we need a way to run past the dogs unseen and or kill them.
Unseen?
This is true, Skunder. Since we don't know where you are a voice on the wind.
You see that there is now just a floating bra kind of wrapped awkwardly around a cat's head. And he's like, what is this hat?
It appears to be a hat for a two-headed creature.
Yes.
Don't touch the holy garments.
Horrifying.
Skunder, if you
could run in. Perhaps you could see what is controlling the door.
Reconnaissance.
Yes.
Great. And Skunder runs.
Oh, I didn't mean now.
Skunder takes off through the doors invisibly.
Inga is also going to dip back into the sour lemon stretchy pants, sour fruit stretchy pants, and get a hoodie and rub the hoodie all in garlic.
You get a hoodie, put it on, rub it all in garlic. Skunder, as you dash out, moving invisibly, the garlic scent on your fur hides you from the dogs whose noses are very keen, and you make it to the entrance. You see the doors are open in front of you. Do you go in?
Yeah, could I do a, like, Quicksilver X-Men moment where I sprint through the dog hideout while they're all still because I'm moving so fast?
Yes.
Could I try to kill time for a moment?
Yeah, I'll let you try to kill time. So there are a number of things in here that could spot you or be dangerous.
Great.
So in order to get everything.
Yeah, I'm rolling 2d12, so if you got to give me
I got to give you 2d12s.
Okay. A true awesome. Roll off.
So what are you rolling?
I'm going to roll cunning and ferocity, and I'm going to Skunder pulls out like the 6 different colored catnips he has and just starts grinding all of them together into like a mortar and pestle and then snorts the entire thing to try and use his magic to stop time for a moment.
So many drugs.
All right, let's do it straight.
Oh, big ups, big ups. That's a 10.
It is a 7 and a 10.
No!
Oh, no!
Oh, big Skundus.
Oh, Skundy.
That's a death.
Big Skundus. That is a tie, so I am gonna reward this.
Great.
You blast through these doors, and as you do, you go up and down the aisles very quickly, using up every last bit of this caffeine inside of you, feeling it almost like it's steam coming out of an engine of a train as you are. You see a number of things that catch your attention. First off, right at the entrance, there are a number of small discs on the ground, probably about the size of you, that seem to be moving autonomously. You see them and immediately a deep sense of dread.
A small discs?
Small discs, about 3 inches off the ground, and you hear a sucking sound.
Oh,
as they move in semi-random patterns. The floor beneath them looks sparkling clean.
Fucking Roombas?
Yeah.
You see them, a deep sense of dread settles within you, and you sprint past them. You see, as time is stopped for this moment, you see a number of dogs patrolling this area within shopping carts. Like, they're standing in shopping carts looking around with, like, flashlights and stuff, being pushed by deer that have their antlers, like, wrapped into the shopping cart. You fly past them, and you get to the home goods section. In the home goods section, you see a number of wires, tubes, feeding apparatus, electrical apparatus, all coming from all various points of the store into this central area. You see in a large lazy boy chair with the legs kicked up, some amalgam of a man. But you don't see fully formed human. You instead see pieces and bits of human mixed with pieces and bits of metal and of vacuum cleaners.
Damn, he's in the home goods section?
Oh, God.
He hates the vacuum cleaners.
You see a number of wires going throughout the store to various areas. You see the lights in this area pulsing up and down as electricity is being pumped into this thing. You notice for this moment that it does seem to be inert and relaxing back in this lazy boy chair, but there are a number of dogs moving around it that seem to be genuflecting in front of it, wearing collars with leashes that they have put into their own mouths, offering it up to the man.
God.
You see this cult of the leash beginning an unholy ceremony to resurrect man.
Sick fucks.
And as you do, you turn around and see a flash of dog fur. You hear a small chirp of a cricket. And you feel a hard slash across your belly as you fly out back through the entrance.
Oh, and if I may, this is a little gross, but like trail my guts on the launch back through the entrance. Oh, yeah.
Flying through, you fly over a number of aisles as this massive paw. Whap, 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 whap. You fly back through the entrance here. Bing, bing, come again. And you land out in the front as your soul briefly flies and makes the trip again to Valhalla.
Do we see Skunder as cats? Do we see the soul going up even though we don't know where Skunder is?
You guys look out as Skunder ran off. You guys kind of like followed off after him. From the top of this like grassy knoll where you guys are at, hidden beneath some trees and some bushes, you see a flash of wind. You sense a small beat of time, and then you see as Skunder just flies out and lands at the entranceway. A number of dogs kind of turn their heads to look at him.
Oh no.
And you momentarily see a soul go up and a soul begin to return as you see dogs with their noses in the air going sniffing hard on the wind.
Skunder's not still caffeinated, is he?
Skunder is no longer caffeinated. Skunder's next roll must include cunning, and that cunning and will be reduced to a D4. And that cannot be manipulated in any way by any of your
copy that
blessings.
Classic witch.
A lot of bad stuff in there, guys. A lot of bad stuff. Really not good. Man, cult, wires, leashes.
Man, you say.
You guys see Skunder is in the middle of, like, right by the entrance. A number of dogs are beginning to move towards Skunder. You guys are off on the other side of the parking lot. What do you guys do?
So we don't know this. Skunder can't actually communicate that to us.
If Skunder wants to yell it out, Skunder certainly can.
I think Skunder, yeah, picks up his guts and finagles himself and starts sprinting towards you.
Just kind of put him back in, and they just kind of
put
like
him back in,
reform.
And it seals up. Yeah,
that's how they work. Yeah,
yeah, and like starts sprinting and is disappointed by how slow he's moving now, but is running and yelling out all these things like
disc, robots, deer, shopping cart, man, leash, cult, dogs.
And as he says dogs, I think the dogs kind of emerge out chasing him.
As you say dogs, you indeed see a dog leap out of the bushes. This is not Scrap because he's leaping into the daylight and goes to attack you. I'm going to need you to go ahead and make a roll.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm going to do cunning and ferocity and try to magic defense. Roderick is going to put up a shield.
And because you're not rolling viciousness, these dogs are armored, so they get to roll an additional D6.
Yeah, I fucking bet they do. That's an 8.
4, 5, and an 8.
Fuck off!
You see this dog come out of you. How do you take out this dog as it also takes you out?
Skunder is still just like putting himself back together, and you just see that the little rat skull Roderick swings around on his belt and like opens up its mouth on its own and shoots out a blast of like blue energy that stops the dog, but it irradiates the dog's bones off, and then Skunder gets, or flesh off his bones, and Skunder gets impaled by the ribcage.
You guys see Skunder gets impaled by this dog's ribcage and flies underneath the bushes near you guys.
I feel like our crew is just sitting here watching Skunder.
Skunder just went through two horrifying deaths really quick.
We're watching him get like yeeted back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't pick a new blessing.
This blessing of intact entrails.
As he's getting bounced back and forth, we're all sitting on the grassy knoll and just our eyes are like going back and forth like cats watching a bird outside the window. Yes. Or something.
Yeah.
Like watching the red laser dot. We're like,
yeah.
Classic witch.
Classic witch.
Quick, we must come up with a plan. Are we to scatter or are we to be one big cat?
I think we all know in our hearts it's time for one big cat.
And then you hear a Power Rangers theme song play. As we all come together.
No, we all take out our black hoodies.
Go, go, giant cat.
And we morph into one giant cat without a head, because Gunder's not here yet.
If we pretend to be death, maybe we can convince them that we're here to wake up the big human.
Never.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Hello, Kitty. That is brilliant.
Hello, well Kitty's the voice.
Who? No, Bulla, what? I think, has to be the voice, because don't you have to talk like a dog?
Oh.
Bulla, I think it is up to you. You must speak like your sister.
Or do you have to speak like a human that's going to put them on their little leashes?
That's also going to be you. I never learned human.
We have to dom them.
Or does anyone have that? Has anyone beseeched their god to give them a blessing of that one where you command the dogs and they have to do what you say? Does anyone have that one?
You know that one? I remember reading about it.
I have not read about that I one.
Do. I do have that one.
It's...
Skunder, die again and get that blessing.
Skunder is pulling ribs out of him as he comes back again.
Bulla, it is your time.
Oh, blessing of hiss and growl.
I did just take hiss and growl on my last death.
What does blessing of hiss and growl do?
Oh,
you add a d6 when attacking dogs and other domesticated creatures.
Well, that'll be useful if they don't buy that we're death.
So do you guys form a Voltron Megazord?
We do.
Voltron.
Yes, thank you Voltron for asking. Megazord. We do.
All right, you guys form a kitten Voltron Megazord.
I need everyone to say what body part they are.
Sorry, no, it's a Meowgazord.
That's true.
Yes.
It's a Voltron Meowgazord. Who is taking the head? Yeah, what's everyone taking?
Skunder says, as the handsomest, I will take the head.
His face does look the most human, weirdly.
I'll go two cats under Skunder because I don't want to be near his butt.
That's fair.
I'll go under his butt.
Hello Kitty is kind of, especially with Hello Kitty being very fluffy, is like the kind of belly.
Mm. Yeah. Tumbo is the broad chest.
Oh.
And then Inga and Bulla are taking the legs.
Who's got gams, baby?
Who's got yams?
I've got gams.
Yes.
It gets to a little kick.
Well, Bulla, you could be the arms.
Sure.
Like deposing out. He's like crossways across my shoulders, like, across Tumbo's shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, with your whip swords.
The whip swords are like the fingers. They're just dragging on the floor. Yeah.
It's very salad fingers.
It's very horrifying.
Yeah, very salad fingers.
You guys form your Voltron Meowgazord and begin to walk towards the entrance. You see Scrap is moving in the shadows. It kind of gives a quick bark, and another dog comes out of the store. You see is wearing like a police like flak jacket for a dog, has a leash around its neck and a collar in its mouth in that very kind of cultish way. But has a certain look about them. They have a notch in one of their ears and a long black streak down their back. Skunder, you would not recognize this dog. But Mr. Tumbo, you would recognize this dog as soon as they speak.
Halt! What do you think you're doing here? Please tell me who you are.
I'm here to pick up my dog.
I thought we were going to be dead.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be dead. I whisper up to you.
Witch.
It's too late now.
Pretend you're bringing the human back to life.
If we were in a bog, I would need to be picking up my dog. I am Death, of course.
Good switch, good switch, good switch. Good job, witch.
I'm gonna need you to roll
I would like
me.
To kill his suspicion.
I will absolutely reward killing his suspicion. He would be rolling with 2d8s. Instead, okay. Since it's just his suspicion, we'll be rolling with 2d6s.
Okay, I guess this is probably what, cunning and viciousness?
Hey, thanks, Scott. Hey, thanks, Brian.
No, that seems fair. That seems fair.
No, like, totally. It does.
2d6s, it's not going to be helped by being armored. So you just got to beat a 4.
I got an 8.
Yeah! Suck it, suspicion.
Idiot.
You see this dog, the leash falls from its mouth, and it immediately bows down before you and kind of genuflex. It goes, my apologies, my liege. I did not
Good
recognize
boy.
You.
Good boy.
You see its tail stands up at attention and then begins to wag furiously oh. back and forth.
Yes, who's a good boy?
I pat him with one of the whip swords.
Oh, no.
The dog comes up and, like, accepts the scritches, but kind of goes,
Yes. Just kinda... You like Death's pets.
So, okay. I whisper up through...
I just duck into the hoodie for a sec. What's up?
This dog is a great evil. My blood sings for his to kill him and end his foul life.
His head is sort of down right now. If you want to just jump out and give it a quick chop, I think we could. That could work.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
All right.
I've got
Who's
my
a good
axe.
Boy? Who's a good boy?
The dog is fully, fully unprepared. Its tail is wagging. It's very happy.
With all my this is my greatest enemy who's done me wrongs that I incomprehensible that keep me up at night, and I pop out from on top of my little kitty shoulders, pop out of like the zipper.
Yeah, I think I go down and then you come out. Your face appears in the hood.
We pop out like two cats trading places in a cat tower, and I just say. And bring my great axe down, and I want to roll brutality and ferocity to try and kill this guy.
So for this, it is armored, and that will help. So it's going to get an additional d6 because you're not rolling vicious. It would normally roll 2d8s. I'm going to have it roll a d8, and I'll downgrade one to a d6 because it has been so convinced. It has been so thoroughly tricked. So I rolled a 2, a 2, and a 6.
You got this, big tumbus.
Get it, Dumbo.
Inga definitely knows the story of this dog and is like...
Yeah, I hope you live so that we can get the freaking lowdown on this.
I was going to say, sure, yeah. Her furs are all fully
What's
fluffed.
The beef?
We introduced a villain with no backstory. We're just going to kill him immediately.
Skunder's just hanging out in the sweater down with Hello Kitty like, do you know what this is about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're
no
all
clue.
Having a chat.
What'd you roll, Brian?
I rolled a 2, a 2, and a 6. So 6.
Ooh, I rolled an 8.
You Get see in. A momentarily flash as you switch places with Skunder. A full great axe comes out of the center of this chest. The dog looks up at you. Its tail kind of falls to the ground as it recognizes you. You see in its eyes a flash of all of the evil that it had perpetrated upon you. That is too evil and terrible to even be described on this podcast. And you
he peed on the wine barrels for one. That's for one. That.
To start.
Lifted a leg on my favorite vintage. Not cool, bro.
And you cleave this pup in twain.
Yeah.
Good dog.
And Mr. Tumbo, because you defeated one of your nemeses, you immediately gain an additional blessing of Valhalla.
Yes.
Whoa.
Ooh, ooh.
I feel as I watch my hated nemesis' blood pool onto the asphalt and nourish nothing. I hear the whispers of its foul tongue. And I gain the blessing that lets me order dogs around. one time.
Yeah, that one.
What do the other dogs see what we just did?
The only other dog is like in this immediate area is Scrap.
Scrap can't come in the daylight. Sure. So
Scrap is unfortunately trapped in the shadows for the moment. The sun is going down pretty rapidly, so it will not be trapped for very long. But you see Scrap begin to bark wildly.
Oh, I'd fire a silver-tipped arrow at that motherfucker.
Go ahead and as you fire an arrow, he's gonna dive at you.
We can't have any barking like that.
What are you rolling?
Cunning and viciousness to use my bow.
Okay.
And I get an extra D6 because he's a fucking dog.
And he won't get any additional. He won't get any additional dice. It's a 4 and a 3.
I got a 4.
Fa!
Skunder!
Skunder's burning up his lives.
Scrap dives out of the shadows through the daylight. You momentarily see his vampire dog body get burned as it passes through a few rays of sunlight before it tackles directly into the head of this Voltron. What do we call it? Voltron Meowgazord.
Meowgazord.
This dog momentarily singed by the sunlight, its vampire body, and then it smashes into Skunder's head as a arrow fires, and that arrow hits the dog. The dog spins around, and you get impaled with your own arrow.
Yeah, that sounds right.
As you guys are shish kebabbed through this thing, as you make your way up to Valhalla, you momentarily hear something that none of your other companions can hear. You look down on your way out, and you see within this dog's mouth is a dog whistle. And its last breath, it blew. As you make this trip, you have this knowledge. This is a sound that your cat companions cannot hear. And for the immediate future, as you make your trip to Valhalla and back, the rest of you are not aware that the alarm has been raised. You look in front of you and see two Roombas, two of these cleaning discs, beginning to move towards you and then momentarily move away and then move towards you and then momentarily move, hit something, kind of move away and then move towards you again.
Ooh, Butler hates that.
And you feel a deep sinking inside you as the head of this faux death goes limp on your shoulders. What do you guys do?
Bala tries to talk to Scrap before he dies. It's like, hey, Scrap, remember me?
Did you just pop your head out of like the hoodie?
Yeah. Real quick. No, you're dead. Okay. Just gonna ask about my sister.
No, you're fully dead.
I think we have to make moves.
And I think as the legs, Inga is just going to start running into the target.
You start running. As these Roombas are moving around, all of you are going to have all of your dice decrease by one value.
Why?
I hate these what Roombas.
What the F?
While these things are around.
Can I kill the Roombas? I'm going to kill the Roombas.
You go, and with your whip swords, you attack both of the Roombas. What role are you going to make?
Brutality and viciousness.
Hell yeah. They are rolling D6s. They are going to get an additional D6 because these things are magic. And because there are two of them, you can choose. Would you like to make two different rolls against them? Or would you like to do just a one big roll off? I'll be rolling 3 D6s and a D10. But if you win, you kill both.
One big roll off.
All right.
Yeah.
What are you rolling, Bulla?
Because we're reduced, I'm rolling 2d6.
Can you use blessings to go back up?
You can use any blessings you want, but whatever the final dice are, both of them will be reduced by one dice size.
No blessings.
All right.
What?
Yeah.
No blessings.
No blessings.
Well, that's you're gonna have a tough time. So that's a 2, a 6, a 6, and a 10.
I don't think blessings are not optional, right? They're just like passive.
Yeah, they just change it. They're passive.
Naturally increase your stuff. right?
Yeah, quick turn a raw dog.
Oh, they don't go away after I use it? Oh, I guess
it's a permanent change.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, even with the 10, I don't think any of them help me much.
None of them get up to a D10?
Yeah, but you might as well. You know, so, for good measure, is it possible for you to get a 10?
If I'm reduced, with the blessings, my brutality and viciousness would be a D10, but I'm reduced to a D8, and so no matter what I roll.
So you don't have anything that would be a D12 normally?
Yeah, no, because my dice are D6 and 6, D8, D8.
These Roombas are so F-up.
Fucking Roombas.
Fucking Roombas.
Fucking Roombas.
You whip both of the Arumis at both of these Roombas.
Roombies?
you whip the Arumis at the Arumbas, and they smash off the floor, get sucked underneath of the Roombas. The Roombas then go into overdrive and tear your arms off.
Yep, I saw that coming. And I just look at you guys like, that sucked. And I go to Valhalla.
You tumble out of this makeshift death and you make your way up to Valhalla. The Roombas are still active.
Oh no.
They can't attack you unless you attack them, but while they exist in the space, they will reduce everything by one.
Even if we're doing a different, we're trying to kill something else.
Mm-hmm. They elicit a deep terror in all of you.
There's only two of them, right?
There's only two of them.
I want to kill one. I want to kill them both.
What are you gonna roll against?
Wow, you saw that?
a brave kitten, just a brave cat, just fell. He must be avenged.
I would like to roll brutality.
Okay.
And see, I think I can get it. I'll roll brutality.
You got this.
What's good against magic?
Ferociousness.
Okay, I'll roll brutality and ferocity. Ferociousness.
Okay. Do you want to try to just kill one, or you want to try to kill both?
I want to kill both. Because I got a big great axe, and I want to go, thump, thump.
So they naturally roll 2d6. They don't get an additional d6 because you're rolling ferocity. They'll get an additional d10 because you're trying to attack both.
What the F?
They get an additional... Each get an additional d10?
Just one. So rather than rolling... Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to roll brutality reduced to a d10, but I'll roll an additional d6 because of my blessing of decapitation. And I'm striking from the shadows for Bubastis first, so I'll roll an additional d6 from that, and then I'll roll a d4 for ferocity.
And what was your highest die?
7.
The Roombas rolled a 1, a 5, and a 6.
Yeah!
The two Roombas
get wrecked, Roombas.
Move towards you. In a strange movement that are going back and forth. They're very difficult to hit. They're entirely unpredictable, but for a moment they line up. They literally stack on top of each other in some accident of machinations, and you cleft them both in twain with a single stroke.
That's for Bala's arms!
Go Tumbo. Go Tumbo.
I come back and get back into my body, and I'm like, can someone put my arms back on me?
Oh yeah.
Can we detangle the Arami real quick?
We flip the Roombas over and untangle them from the little fuzzy broom part at the bottom.
I can't do that because it's too yucky.
That's okay. You're special and sweet.
Stay clean.
This is the moment that Skunder, you return to your body with knowledge that the alarm has been raised.
Hey, we're fucked.
Ah, Skunder, you've returned. Bark, bark.
How did I get back before you get back?
Your friend, Scrap, you know him, had a dog whistle, and he blew it, and so every dog in this store now knows that we are here, and it's bad.
Do we think it best if we divide and conquer?
you all begin to hear not dog paw prints, but you begin to hear hooves.
Oh, those would be the deer.
You begin to hear the wheeling squeak of shopping carts moving towards you from either side. You're essentially looking towards the shelves. You see two aisles to either one aisle to either side, and you hear carts coming down the sides. You guys have but a moment to act. Do you engage or do you hide?
Can I do like a hybrid thing?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Please.
Excuse me, I'd like to order off menu.
Sorry. I'd like to order a modification. If I could hide, but also cast a spell on the ground that makes it really oily, slippery. There's like no friction at all for the carts.
Yeah, I'll let you do that for free. You go and hide and cast this oil slick spell. You see the dogs and the deer antlers begin to careen towards it, and you hear the wheels begin to slick on the ground without any traction.
They're fishtailing!
Before that resolves, what does everyone else do?
Can I shoot myself up to the ceiling?
You were going to say, can I shoot myself in the head?
I want to go back to Valhalla.
I meant to take a different blessing, actually. So can I just real quick?
Skunder, what are you doing?
I'm going to use my bow to shoot myself up to the ceiling and hold on above
nonsense.
Like very Looney Tunes style.
Yeah, you put your feet there, you stretch yourself up, you somehow springboard but retain the bow, and you fly up to the ceiling and grab onto the rafters. Bala, what are you doing?
Can I kill the lights?
Yeah, you can roll against the lights. The lights are just going to be rolling 2d4.
All right, I'm rolling cunning, and I'll roll brutality.
They rolled a 2 and a 3, so you just got to beat a 3.
Yeah, stupid lights.
That's a 2 and a 7.
Woo!
How do you kill the lights?
Kill the lights.
Bala looks up and takes his roomies like out of the Roombas and goes and just like kind of like a inflatable tube man like style hands and just starts waving them to hit all the light bulbs out. So now we're in the dark.
You guys see the deer pushed carts with these German shepherds in them begin to careen down the hallways. They hit this oil slick and begin to steer off the road and into various shelves, crashing. The dogs and the deer look towards you as you begin to slash the arumis around overhead, and you just above you, all of you just hear smash, crash, 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 and showers of sparks as the lights in this area are done. The 80s are over, and you're not kids anymore. Now is a much darker time. Something happened to you, and you got touched by the weird, and it made you wild, and it made you powerful. This is the world of The Lost Bay, a suburban gothic RPG. A fever dream set in 1990X and inspired in equal parts by dark fantasy, horror classics, and the 90s indie culture. After years of development, and thanks to the feedback and support of a community of early enthusiasts, The Lost Bay is coming to Kickstarter, featuring a full rulebook and complete setting designed by Eco, kick-ass art by Evangeline Gallagher, killer maps by Strega Wolf Vandenberg, and 6 additional modules by some of the coolest designers in the indie scene. So go right now to thelostbayrpg.com to back this project. That's thelostbayrpg.com. The Gardens of Yin is now funding on Kickstarter. The Gardens of Yin is a randomized depth crawl adventure set in an ever-shifting, extra-dimensional garden. The deeper you head into the gardens, the more perilous and unusual the locations become, ending in whatever secrets lie in the garden's deepest depths. Each route of your expedition is generated as it's explored, resulting in new vistas being unlocked with every visit. This campaign will remaster Gardens of Yin by Emmy Allen, with new art by Riot Bones and an offset print run by Soul Muppet Publishing. Gardens of Yin is made for old-school systems, but can be easily converted for use in other TTRPGs. To support this project, search Gardens of Yin on Kickstarter. That's Gardens of Yin, spelled Y-N-N, on Kickstarter. Have you ever had a boring boss battle in a role-playing game? Ever struggled your way to the climax of a dungeon only to spend 3 hours taking turns rolling to hit? Ever wished there was a way to have exciting fights where your tactics matter without getting bogged down in minutiae and maths? Of course you have. And the good folks at Rowan, Rook & Deckard, creators of Spire, Heart, and many other fine role-playing games, are doing boss battles justice with Hollows. Hollows uses a lock-on combat grid focused around the boss monster instead of the location, so it's always the center of attention, and your position always matters. With rules inspired by Bloodborne and Monster Hunter, and a setting inspired by Silent Hill and Jacob's Ladder, Hollows is a unique new game from award-winning designers Grant Howitt and Christopher Taylor. You can learn more and download the free quick start adventure, The Sins of Grisham Priory, by visiting rrdgames.com/hollows. I'll say, because you killed the lights, you have short-circuited about half of the store. You see it's darkness for like the first half, but off in the back near where Skunder knows the home goods section is, there is still not only lights, but there is a large pulsing of lights, very much vroom, vroom, getting brighter and brighter and brighter in this area. Last up, Mr. Tumbo, what do you do?
Mr. Tumbo, it now being dark, hides in the darkness, just kind of like takes a step back and slinks away.
In a pile of stuffed animals?
Yeah, into a pile of stuffed, an end cap pile of stuffed animals. Those big like squash mellow plushy ones. He's just like, holds his paws up.
You just fully Homer Simpson back into these stuffed animals.
Hello Kitty's hiding is doing that, and she's next to a Hello Kitty squish.
Inga, what do you do?
Inga is... Does she want to hide, or does she want to make a break for that glowing area? I think Inga is... Skunder hasn't necessarily recounted everything yet, but she sees the glowing, like the pulsating of the light, and mm-hmm. and assumes that this is deep in her belly. She knows, so Inga is going to try to sneak through shelves in the like keeping to the darkness, but slinking through, trying to make her way to kind of the outskirts of where there is still light.
Your feline eyes open wide, and you're able to see pretty well in this very dim darkness. You begin to move through these shelves, through various shelves and holes, moving through the aisle of produce that has long since rotted, through clothing aisles that have been consumed by moths, and you begin to see, as you move further and further back, large cables, like electrical cables, and also tubes that seem to be like shukunk, 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 pumping some kind of semi-viscous liquid towards the home goods section. And you see, it seems to be coming from the tubing seems to be coming from a particular portion of the, like, not produce section, but like food section.
Okay.
That seems to be like the health section.
Could I send a little magical whisper to Ingo to warn her what she's walking towards?
Yeah, what do you say?
I say,
Inga, they've created some kind of man-shaped monster. And also, there is a big fucking dog back there that smacked me all the way out of the store. I didn't get a good look at him, but be careful.
This must be what death needs us to kill.
Inga is, is the food and stuff, like health food section, in the dark, like darker than if I follow the tube towards where it's pulling from versus where it's pulling to?
The area where the source of the tubing is in the darkness right now.
Okay, Inga is going to follow the tube of keeping some distance so that she's not right on top of it, along to see where the source is, while keeping the thing where cats have one ear like pointed where they're going, but the other ear is fully pointed back towards where all of her companions are at the front door.
You begin to move towards this area, and as you do, you begin to see areas where there were like produce. Like at one point there was like fruit and vegetables. Now it's just like this pulp that's long since, like, it's grown out into fungus and various other plants in this room. There were like, it begins to transition into areas where there are like boxed foods. And you see some things have enough preservatives that they're still kind of there. A lot of them have rotted out. You begin to move into a section where boxes turn to like plastic jars and containers. So rather than seeing like food in a box, you're seeing stuff in a like plastic jar type thing. You see many of these shelves have been stripped bare, but left behind are a few, and there are these very large tubs, like this big, black tubs with screw-off caps, that you see one of them is left open, and inside there is a very fine brown powder.
God damn it, Ryan.
We're surrounded by games.
Oh, no.
Getting beefy.
My question is the pulsating light, the tub with the Frankenstein in it?
The lazy boy chair.
Is it powered by electricity or powered by magic?
From your vantage point right now, you're not entirely sure. I think Skunder...
Yeah, I've got a bit of a bird's eye of the store.
I think you would recognize it, as far as like the wires, that's definitely electricity. As far as the tubing, I think between Hello Kitty, Skunder, and especially Inga, you are beginning to recognize this is a kind of magic, particularly one of brewing of potions. And this is a type of magic that I think Hello Kitty would be particularly aware of, because you knew and were very antagonistic towards a potion brewer, or as some would maybe call her, a witch.
I have a question about the carts.
What about the carts?
Have they formed what you would call a pile because of the grease?
They have for sure formed a pile. So the
what
deer's...
What you might describe as a pile?
The deer's antlers have been, like, woven into the carts. So the deer are, like, struggling to get up. Aww. Yeah, the dogs are bad. Dogs are bad in this world.
That's horrible.
And the dogs are kind of in a pile. So they're definitely in a pile, and they're slowly trying to right themselves.
Could I kill the deer's bondage?
You could kill the deer's bondage.
So that they fight back.
Ooh, okay. How do I want to adjudicate this? I'm going to...
Also, what happened to them slipping and sliding?
Oh, they slip and slide. Yeah.
They're in a pile.
Okay.
They're in a huge pile. They're all fucked up.
That's why I want to ask if I can target them as, like, one thing.
So what I'm going to do for this is I'm going to have them roll as if it was the dogs.
Yeah.
If you're able to break the bondage, the deer will essentially take care of the dogs. So they're going to be rolling 2d8. What are you going to be rolling for this?
I'm going to do Cunning and Ferocity, and we're going to send a little magic-y nonsense down there.
The dogs are armored, and you're not using viciousness, so I'm going to add a d6. But because the deer are kind of helping you out here, I'm going to reduce that d6 down to a d4.
Okay, that sounds fair.
So 2d8 and 1d4 for this encounter.
Wonderful. Hit! That is a 10 on my cunning.
They rolled a 1, a 5, and an 8.
Also.
Yeah, yeah.
I rolled a 6 on ferocity, and I got Rustum's Darting Flame last time I died. So I'm also going to say the dogs catch on fire.
Ooh. Oh, hell yeah. you tell me, what does it look like as you kill the bondage of these deer?
Wait, is it an oil slick?
Yeah, it's an oil slick.
That should be
wouldn't
on fire
the oil
too.
Catch fire?
Yeah, so essentially, yeah. Skunder sends down this, like, he chomps a little bit of red catnip and, like, shoots down this little magic sort of magic missile kind of vibe that zips through all the bonds of the deer, and then the deer pull away, and then the little magic goes up and then drops down into the oil and catches the whole thing on fire.
This dart of magic flies around the room, reflects off a number of surfaces, and then catches on the oil. The oil ignites the dogs, and it also melts the plastic of these carts. These were cheap carts. These weren't the good metal carts. And the deer very quickly begin to buck and weave back and forth, smashing the carts, revealing the sharpness of their horns, which they had been in secret sharpening for this day when they would be freed, and impale the dogs around this area.
Yeah.
They begin to run wild through this section. Yeah, that you may be able to use that later, but right now they're running wild. They're enacting their plans.
Yay, deers.
Deer are definitely your buddies, but are kind of doing their own thing for the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool. I'd like to just, from our hiding place in amidst the stuffed animals, I would just like to, like, confirm with Hello Kitty and just, like, take a moment to understand the gravity, being like, this lurking in the back of the store near that pulsing light is the enemy that death sent us to kill. Our fate draws near. Let us proceed.
What do you guys do as Mr. Tumbo and Hello Kitty, as you guys kind of confer within the stuffed animal section, what do you guys do as this area is now kind of free and being menaced by very sharp deer?
And on fire.
I think your magics would be useful to disrupt the flow of energy to this abomination. And perhaps my axe can be useful and taken to that pot of protein powder. Chop it. Chop it up.
There has to be a way to stop it.
Got him. Nice. Good one.
Fucking got him.
Fucking got him. Skunder sent down a magic message just to make that joke.
So we're currently, like, surrounded and there's no way out, or that you're just describing?
No,
like,
sorry. You guys, so for you guys, this area is, like, essentially clear of dogs. Between you and Skunder, this area is clear of dogs. There's definitely a big distraction because parts of it are on fire, and there are deer kind of running around wreaking havoc, freeing other deer that are on these that are, have been, like,
the deer have unionized.
The deer have unionized and mutinied, and are taking it very seriously.
Yeah,
exactly. Literally. Yeah, the deer are having a real "I am Spartacus" moment, and it's
I can tell. I can see the tub and kind of, like, know what you were saying before, like, familiar with it from here.
You see a number of the tubes and things that are leading towards the home goods section, towards this abomination of man. Mm-hmm. And you see a number of the tubs of various powders and liquids and tinctures that you are familiar with, kind of on a... I don't think potion making is necessarily the type of magic that you practice, but it's you're familiar with it enough to know what it is. And you know that... your nemesis, Melody Tuffington, that bastard of a rabbit that she is, was particularly keen on using these types of tinctures and powders to make herself stronger or wiser or faster.
And the tubes are presumably they're sending stuff through them to get to the top, to the big thing, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Tumbo. I need you to put as many holes in these tubes as possible.
Can do.
Does that sound doable?
Yes.
Stealthily.
Okay. Yes.
I could do that. Stealth's not my strong suit. Ha ha! But I'll try.
The ha ha just rings out around the store.
I'll also join you, and I'll do it stealthily because that's my specialty. I hate talking.
Well, then let us talk no more. But attack!
And I guess I'd like to just use my claws
stealthily
to start stealthily ripping holes in these tubes.
Yeah, it's just tubing. So you very quickly like pop a bunch of holes in all of these tubes. You see this kind of chalky liquid begin to leak out on all over the floor. You sniff it and smell chocolate on the air. You see this liquid begin to eke out, and you see off in the distance the light that was pulsing begins to pulse you just see it dim a little bit, and you hear somewhere from the health food section a shrill voice eke out and goes,
"What the hell are you all doing?"
Hello Kitty, just you see a darkness go over her eyes and she starts vibrating and her lips are pursed and she's so pissed and she's like, "Of course, it's that fucking bitch."
Did you say witch? And Bella pops up.
You guys pop up and see as over some of these shelves, you see a figure jump into view and you see a small bunny of a woman wearing a lab coat and big fucking mad scientist glasses, as well as a black witch's hat. Looks around, is holding a bunch of various like instruments and things with digital readouts. It's like,
"Why is the pressure so low? We need to bring this back up if we're gonna bring this thing back to life.
Quick, hide."
That's the cutest witch I've ever seen.
Shut up. No.
Skunder up in the ceiling is like, "Ouch."
You see Melody Tuffington begin to jump down towards the area where you guys had punctured holes in it and begins to take gaff tape and begins to patch it up.
I think Inga, having seen some of this from afar, like she was following the tube back in the other direction and also was like, "Oh, I think this is like a supplement, if you will, for the Frankenstein creature." And sees this happening and hears Melody exploding. And so also is like, "Aha, perhaps poking holes will do good." And then we'll slink along on the side of the tube, but every once in a while pop back and like bunny kick it really quickly to scratch up a bunch of it and then pop back into the shadows and just keeps going along so that there's another tube on maybe like the opposite side of the store that is also now leaking.
Nice.
You see, you hear the digital readout in her hand begins to go beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep.
And you see the numbers ticking down as like a gauge of pressure is going down. She looks around and goes,
"Bunnies, quickly, to your stations. We've got to fix this pressure if we're ever going to complete this ritual."
And you see a number of bunnies begin to hop out from this area and begin to start going down the lines and patching things up wherever they can. As they go, you initially see three bunnies come out. You initially see four bunnies come out. By the time they get to Inga, there are 16 bunnies there.
You're telling me these bunnies are fucking while they're on the attack?
They're fucking on the job.
They're fucking on the job.
Fucking on the job?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, if you love what you do, you'll never fuck a rabbit a day in your life.
I'd like to look at Hello Kitty. Mr. Tumbo looks at Hello Kitty and then just sees that she's like found her favorite enemy. And she maybe wants, I just want to check in with Hello Kitty if you want me to like stay and back you up against this bunny or if I should go and like let you have this standoff.
I don't feel prepared emotionally to have this conversation with Kelly. But I do think I have a solution as to how to stop the human potion from taking course and to reverse its effect and to hinder its growth.
What is your solution?
We need to go into a section of this place and find bottles. There's only one antidote that a full of brown liquid that say Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola.
Or or Pepsi, or any of the sludgy brown liquid. We need to pour that into the tub. That will undo the fortifying effects of the Gaines powder.
I drop to one knee so you can, like, I know as a young cat, like, you should face your fears, and I, like, hold your head and say something profound to that effect. And then I drop to one knee and say, you shall win the day, and I shall go find this Coca-Cola. And so then I just, like, ha-ha, spring off and go to the grocery section and try to find some Coca-Cola.
Oh, and also, if you see big or little orange fried balls in big tubs, that'll do. That helps too.
I shall look for these orange balls also. Ha ha.
You browse all the shelves and you see pretty much all the food in these shelves are rotten except for a tub of orange balls, which are pristine after years and years of humans being extinct.
I reach in and I open up the lid with my two kitty paws and then just look down like, and it's kind of like the briefcase from Pulp Fiction. It's just this orange light just like shining up in my big eyes. And then I put the lid back on and try and take it back to the machine.
As you open up what is essentially just pure cheese and rice puff, I'm going to need you to make a roll.
Oh, really? Okay. That's fair.
To not be tempted or not attract the dogs.
To not be tempted by cheese. You've not been trained in how to handle magical artifacts. Go ahead and roll whatever you like. I'm just going to be rolling 2d4, so very easy check.
Can you imagine getting killed by cheese balls?
God, so that's how I want to go.
That's how I want to go.
Okay, I'm going to roll my brutality because I'm fucking brutal. And then I guess my cunning. Okay. Oh!
No!
So I rolled an extra d6 because of my brutality. And I rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3.
Damn, you did that.
With 2d4s, I rolled a 1 and a 3. Mr. Tumbo, can you please describe how you are bested gloriously by these cheese balls?
But then I also kill the cheese balls. I also,
you also,
like,
in this case, I would say, I'll let you do. You will both succeed and die in this. So
okay, cool.
Tell me how you want to do it.
So as Tumbo staring into this orange glow, he can feel sort of the magical force pulling him in, forcing him to just consume these. But he fights against it. He sees, like, the glimpse of Hello Kitty's white fur, like, she's about to face off against this rabbit, and he knows he's got to keep going commanded by death. So he claws his way back to the tub, and with his last strength, he takes the takes the tube connected to the Frankenstein and plunges it into the cheese puffs, and then with his other hand pulls out a bunch of cheese puffs from the tub and just crams them into his own mouth, and he just, like, in sheer raptures of ecstasy, just feels the delicious cheese, like, overcoming him, and he that's very bad for cats to eat cheese puffs, I would imagine, so he just dies pretty immediately. On his way up to Valhalla, he just goes, "Worth it."
A bunch of the Valkyries look at you and are like, "Ooh, can you describe the texture of the cheese puff? Because we've been wanting to know about that."
At first, it was crunchy like the permafrost on a frozen lake, but then creamy as a mother's teat.
Oh,
wild!
You just hang out. You just hang out with the Valkyries for a little bit.
I fuck a Valkyrie.
You're feeling hot to trot.
That's like Mr. Tumbo's ideal death is food and then sex with a Valkyrie.
A little bit of food, a little bit of fun.
Yep.
Hello Kitty, you begin to see a bunch of orange pulp begin to pulse through this tubing. It begins to go towards this abomination of man. As it goes, you see it beginning to go down the tube, and a bunch of noises go off in Melody Tuffington's various like instruments around her. You see her begin to like it clears off her desk momentarily and looks at the instruments and goes,
"What? What is this? Somebody's checking. Oh no. Oh no, all my work. It'll be for naught."
And she grabs up a large knife, grabs a potion, chugs down the potion.
No.
You see her body begin to get fucking jacked immediately, and especially her legs get significantly thicker. She leaps into the air, and where she leaped before, she like got to the top of a shelf. So like, you know, 8 feet in the air, still incredible. She now leaps 25 feet into the air straight up, looking where this pulp is coming from, rebounds off the ceiling and heads directly for the tube, trying to cut the tube so as to not allow this orange pulp to reach this resurrecting man.
Did she pass by Skunder on the ceiling? Does she see me?
Oh.
I don't think she sees you. She's looking solely towards this orange pulp. So if you or Hello Kitty want to do anything, let me know.
I also want to see if I can... I want to see if I can get to the potion that she was drinking and get also jacked.
You run to the potion, and as you do, you hear a whispering in your ears from skeletal lips. A chalky concoction, a potion of power. You drink every drop to make enemies cower. And you drink down this kind of chalky liquid that was previously pulsing through these tubes, and you feel yourself get swole immediately. Your legs pulse, your arms pulse, your neck doubles in thickness. For your next roll, your brutality is increased to the max dice size.
Ooh. Fuck yeah. Kaiju battle.
Yeah, Kaiju Senryu.
While this is happening, Inga is gonna try to get as close to where these tubes like meet up so that she can get eyes on this Frankenstein situation, but wants to keep, again, like hidden in doing that so that she can see if, like, what are the most important. Inga wants to see if there are like kill switches, basically, of like if I can cut that tube and that wire and stab it here. Those are the three. Like if we only accomplish three things, it's those three.
You get as close as you can, moving through the shadows and moving as quietly and stealthily as you can. There's a lot going on in this area. There's Melody Tuffington screaming at people. There are dogs chanting and barking around this ritual that is happening. And there's also deer that are like kind of on fire, but in a cool, chill way, that are just running throughout the store, freeing other deer. So like a lot of shit is happening that makes it pretty easy for you to run through this area. You get as close as you dare without attracting the attention of the dogs, and you see a number of dogs all with leashes around their necks, or with collars around their necks, leashes in mouths, doing a slow chant around this lazy boy. The wires are shoved into the chest of this creature. The tubes are down the mouth and are feeding in this chalky protein powder. You know where the tubes lead. You know they lead to like the health food section. The wires seem to be leading to the electronics section. And you see a number, like where this area is pulsing bright, there is also a large pulse from that area as well.
Can I follow Inga along the ceiling? I think Skunder is worried about Inga's last life and that she's going towards the most dangerous part of the store alone. And so I think Skunder's following along the ceiling.
You scurry along the ceiling in the rafters and are able to stay above. From this vantage point that you're at, you see everything that Inga's seeing, and you see something that you had not previously seen. In the electronics section, there are a number of wires all leading to a large computer, and there is a dog with kind of tan fur with a bit of gray flecks in it that is typing away at a computer. From this distance, your cat eyes also see one other small thing. You see on the shoulder of this cat, kind of like standing on its shoulder and with its hand on one side, something small and green.
Small and cricket. Green.
The cricket. The cricket chirp from earlier.
Cricket. What do I know the story behind the cricket? Is that somebody's nemesis?
It is.
My sister, dude.
The cricket's your sister?
No.
Oh, your sister had a cricket. Right. And the cricket was his sister?
Whoa.
A family can look like anything.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Elliot.
So sorry.
Skunder, as you hear this, you see this dog off in the distance. You see the cricket. And you recognize this to be Anura, which is Bulla's sister. Before you can say anything or relay any of this, you look down again towards Inga. You hear first a skittering along the grounds. You see a flash of bone white. And you see a figure missing a head dive towards Inga to make an attack.
Roderick.
I would like to drop from the ceiling and put myself in the way of the attack.
Go ahead and roll whatever dice you think.
I feel like that's probably brutality and maybe cunning.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Roderick is magic, so we'll be rolling an additional d6.
Roderick.
What is fair for an animal with a skeleton without a head? It's going to be a d10, a d8, and a d6.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
That doesn't sound fair. He's missing his
That's
head.
That's pretty fair.
You've got a pretty easy job. Rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3.
I got a 7.
Oh, yeah.
You see
Roderick, you bastard.
Roderick dive towards Inga. As you fall out of the ceiling, Roderick immediately slams into his own head and attempts to run away, like reforms essentially in this moment. You see the head snaps up to you and goes,
"Ha ha, you've fallen for my trap."
And then realizes it's still stuck to your belt and is unable to wiggle
and
free.
It's just like trying to run away.
So you just feel a scraping going down your sides as this now complete rat skeleton is stuck to you, but is now animated again fully as Roderick.
Skunder, what the hell is happening?
You can tell me. You succeeded, so you can kill this thing, but it's kind of already dead, so what do you want to happen to this thing?
I think that the logic of the magic that Skunder had put onto Roderick's body loses its potency when the head is reattached and it just becomes a limp rat skeleton. Like, the reattachment is like, Roderick goes, "Oh, right, I'm dead." And then, and then just becomes a pile of bones.
Yeah, you just hear Roderick go,
"Ha ha! Oh, shit."
Does this mean you don't have your, like, casting skull anymore? Are you, like, freed?
I think the skull is kind of, yeah, it's kind of not magical anymore. It's all...
You've been freed from your prop. Like, Hello Kitty was teasing you prop. About using, like, needing to use this, and now you're freed from it. What a beautiful...
Don't get me wrong. I still got a belt full of drugs, but yeah, I'm free from the skull.
You do, also because you defeated your nemesis, you gain an additional blessing of Valhalla.
I think it is only right that I do Cold Flame to make my magic better. And it turns out the skull was holding me back.
Bigger
awesome.
Witch.
And the drugs are only helping you. They are not holding you back.
And the drugs are only helping. Catnip is good for cats.
Skunder, where did you come from?
Oh, Inga. Did you notice the skeleton behind you?
My fur was tingling, but no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Weird how that got there.
As that conversation is happening, you guys off to the right see a flash of white fur as Melody Tuffington is flying down to intercept this poison pill in her brew to bring back and complete this ritual to bring back this abomination of man. Hello Kitty, you see your nemesis flying down towards the pipe to undo the work that you and Mr. Tumbo did. You now feel that protein powder swelling through you, making you jacked as shit, knowing that you are able to catch up with her. What do you do?
Well, I do want to stay true to my roots, which is my magical abilities and not my jackedness. So for right now, I'd love to just cast a spell since she can't see me to send her flying off course, like a big blast of kinetic energy.
Yeah, go for it.
What do you momentum?
What would you like to roll?
Aw, man. I thought I could just do that because I rock. No, but I've been getting a lot of free rolls. Well, it's magic, so I guess cunning and ferocity. But I also get an extra D6, too. Is she rolling or is it sort of her momentum that's rolling?
If you want to try to kill her momentum, I'll let you do that for a way easier roll, but you won't actually kill her.
Kill that bitch.
Okay, I'll try to kill her. I got eight lives. Let's freaking go
do
for it.
Yeah.
Let's freaking go for it.
Let's use some lives.
Metal!
She's rolling 2d10. She is magic, so she's going to get an extra d6 if you're not using ferociousness.
I am using ferociousness, though.
Okay, just 2d10. Then what you get?
I got a 12.
Woo!
Ah! Roll a 5 and a 4.
Meow!
Get inmate!
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, holding on to a scalpel ready to slice this tube in order to stop your progress in its tracks. You blast this fireball of magic. Tell me, how do you end Melody Tuffington?
Melody Tuffington, in the air, turns around, sees me, jacked as hell, freaking Miss Juicy herself, looks at me and then scowls and goes, "You." And I am like, "Yes, me." And then the fireball hits her and she just becomes like a charred cooked rabbit. and her carcass falls to the ground steaming, and the dogs can't help but come over to the smell.
She lands in the home goods section on a plate.
Yes, a Cravings by Chrissy Teigen collection. Yeah, in partnership with Target.
God, oh my God! Of course.
Somehow ended up fully carved.
The dogs performing this ritual momentarily smell cooked rabbit in the air. And you hear the chanting begin to slow and then stop as they begin to kind of sniff into the air. You see this orange pulp begin to go into the man, and it begins to kind of shake and rattle a bit, kind of spasming as it is being revived. The dogs look at it very concerned, and off in the electronic section, you hear a cricketing very quietly in the ear of this tan and gray dog, and the dog begins to work faster and faster at the computer. This ritual begins to build and build and build, and you all begin to feel a cold breath on the backs of your necks. Mortality made manifest, slipping through those all too familiar skeletal lips as you feel death watching this carnage from the corner of your eye, eager for you to balance his books.
If you're hearing this, that means you listen to every last second of this episode. And if you simply cannot wait until the next episode drops, you should head over to patreon.com/myfirstdungeonpod and become a member of the Dice Pool. Fresh! For just a few bucks a month, you'll get cast talkbacks, original games, and a full-length bonus actual play each and every month. As of the end of 2023, there's already over 20 hours of bonus audio, plus a whole bunch of other goodies to enjoy. So head on over to patreon.com/myfirstdungeonpod and jump on into the dice pool. We'll see you there. Splash!